Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to episode 5 of the Theory Hammer podcast. As always, I'm your host Jared.
This is Dalton.
And this is a pretty big episode for us, I think. It's getting less into just talking about the Warhammer community posts and more about, you know, talking about our own stuff.
Yeah, we've done a lot in the past, month and a half?
Yeah, now that we're like actually, you know, really getting down and dirty in the hobby and actually getting started and not just talking about it.
It helps we have a store we can go to.
Yeah, that's true, now that we got a name.
Reliably close.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, do I want to drive an hour, play 2 hours, and then get blown off the board by someone with a competitive team, and then drive another hour to go home?
Exactly. Now that we got one that's like 20 minutes away.
Yeah, to get blown off the board by a competitive
team. True. Yeah. Dude, Necrons. we got another new cool thing with episode 5, and that is we've got an intro track now.
Sweet.
Yep, let's go ahead and give that a listen. Catch you after. We're back. How was that for you?
I mean, I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too. I'm really happy with it. Well, now that that's all done out of the way, we can get right into the episode. So the first thing we got is still talking about the Warhammer community. We gotta have some of it in there.
Be a shame if we didn't.
That's true. Is the New York Toy Fair that happened probably a while ago.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. It was...
Let's see. They posted a...
22nd of February.
Yeah, so not...
We're not too terribly far off.
One thing it did add, I got some boys, for Underworlds. They revamped the Orc Shadespire warband, pretty much. It's not a direct revamp, as far as I understand, but, like...
That one with the big two-handed face.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry.
I need it.
Glorious.
I actually just need it. Like, it's a need. I need it.
Yeah.
Next we got, looks like they are talking about some of the Aeronautica Imperialis. Looks like some kind of Imperial fighter. Let me see if I can get the name for you guys here. The Avenger Strike Fighters. I still haven't looked into Aeronautica Imperialis, but,
We've got so many others going on.
True.
I would hate to get in the middle of another one right now.
I did hear that they added Daka Jets.
Oh, no.
So
I guess we're getting into this next.
At some point. But it can wait. Next, and it's something that I'm actually excited for, because I am finding that I am more of a board game guy than I thought I was.
Yeah.
There is a board game called Space Marine Adventures, and it is,
I've heard of it. In passing.
Where the players play as, you know, like Space Marines, and you're, you know, fighting the enemies of the Imperium. And the first one is with Necrons, and I heard it's actually pretty fun. I know a lot of people use it to get their, like, kids into Warhammer and stuff, you know, teaching them a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I'll pretend to be a kid if it means I get to have fun.
Yeah.
But they appear to be coming out with the next iteration, which is called Rise of the Orcs. And it appears that the Space Marine players get to play as Terminator models now.
Ooh.
Instead of just, you know, regular Space Marines.
Oh.
So, I believe the first...
Let's see, what do we have? We have a Blood Angel.
Yeah, it looks like
Space Wolf, Imperial Fist.
Yep.
And then...
Salamander, and I'm going to assume that's an Ultramarine.
Yeah, possibly. I'm going to say Ultramarine.
Yeah, I'm going to... Just with the blue armor is what I'm assuming
that's
on.
It's a bolt shell in the middle of his wings, though, instead of the...
Yeah.
Omega symbol, so...
I believe the first one, Tomb of the Necrons, I think is what it was called. It was only $40.
Dang.
I mean, it's pretty good for a board game.
Yeah.
and I'm thinking I might pick it up. It's at Barnes & Noble's, which is, you know.
Yeah, we used to go there a lot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Not for Warhammer, but I mean, you know, whatever, they do them. And then also Target. But we would have a,
No.
We would have a Barnes & Noble closer than a Target.
Well, not, would we? Do we have a Target up in, like, Fayetteville, Springdale?
Is someone in Fayetteville? I thought it was Rogers.
I thought it was one in Springdale. There Fayetteville
might,
area.
There might be.
I swore there was one. Yeah. There used to be one.
The only one I know, or, yeah, the only one I feel like I know about is, I feel like there's one in Rogers. Either way.
We really want to go to Target, though.
Right, yeah.
I'd rather go to Barnes & Noble for Warhammer than Target.
Yeah.
Against Target, just...
I think I might pick it up, the first one, and then, you know, when this one comes out, try and pick it up, too, because I think I'm going to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then it looks like... I don't know much about Blitz Bowl, but it looks like they have a new... some kind of thing for Blitz Bowl.
It's two-person.
Well, yeah, because, you know, Blood Bowl.
Yeah.
Other than I believe it's played with six players instead of Blood Bowl's traditional 11, and then 7's the popular spin-off game where you use 7.
Yeah.
Other than that, I know nothing about it. It's I never really... I was more into just regular traditional Blood Bowl.
Yeah.
And then I talked with a lot of people in the UK, so 7's is pretty popular over there. Shout out to the Bonehead Podcast again. Ben, what's up? Next, looks like Age of Sigmar also has a, like, Space Marine Adventures, is what this is looking like. Yeah, and it's got a, what are those? Are those called Sequest? No, that's not Sequesters.
They're Stormcast, aren't they?
Well, yeah, but I'm trying to think of what that unit is called. Cast something?
I'm not into Age of Sigmar.
It's been a while since I've looked into Stormcast Ethereals. Either way, who are they fighting? No, it's the it's the Nighthaunt. Of course,
yeah,
it is.
It's probably the Nighthaunt. They seem to really hate each other.
That also looks like it would be fun, and I might have to try and look and see if I can find that. But I think I would want to do the 40K first because I'm more into 40K than I am Age of Sigmar.
Age of Sigmar, I will say, has a few models that I
prefer
way over 40K models.
I mean, I like. I am falling in love with the Gloomspite Gits. Which is the goblins. So I'm probably going to be buying some of those.
We'll do it.
Yeah. I've actually entered a couple giveaways to see if I can get a start collecting or something like that. Either way, those board games look very fun, and I think I'm going to have to try and pick them up. After that, we have this... I've heard it's pretty controversial, which is the Space Marine... action figure. I believe Bandai, the like figurine company.
Yeah.
I think they are the ones who produced this. And I've heard that it sold out immediately. And it was like $120-something. Yeah.
How big is this thing?
Like, probably, well, you can't see this on the podcast, but I'm showing Dalton here.
Alright, foot and a half?
Probably a foot, yeah.
Foot and a half? Damn.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't want... I would rather just have a, you know...
You wouldn't say no if one, like, here, well, yeah, I got you know, this. Just, would you like it to paint?
Yeah.
Duh.
But, I mean, I'm not going to spend $120 on a figurine when I could spend $120 on just ultramarine
models.
Yeah.
And get way more.
Well, that about wraps it up for the Toy Fair. And the next thing I wanted to add is just kind of my own personal little thing, which is the first book of the Psychic Awakening, Blood of the Phoenix.
Yeah.
They finally released the models you can buy separately. You don't have to buy the Blood of the Phoenix box that was $300 or something.
Sweet.
And I just like... I like the Dark Eldar models.
The Incubi, the Drazakar.
And then that's...
The Janezar.
That's, for the other... I don't know what they're called. It's not called Eldari. It's...
Drukhari?
Well, there's Drukhari, and then it's like...
Harlequins?
It's not Yeneed, but it's something... like that. It's just some sub-faction.
Okay.
And that actually about wraps it up for, like, the news segment. So next we can actually get into our own stuff. And I figured we would start by the new game that you picked up last night.
Yes, at a local game store. He sent me a picture. It was Wrath and Glory RPG. And I thought, you know what? Why not? Went and bought it. We played last night for about a couple hours.
Yep, something like that.
And definitely a learning curve. We coming from D&D and stuff. It's a learning curve. But once we started figuring it out, it's like, okay, this is actually fun.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff is just once you actually just worked through it a few times, it was just second nature. I really like the system, but I also just like 40K, so I might be a little biased.
Yeah.
That said, I feel like you pretty much have to be into 40K to, like, really play it.
Well, a lot of the stuff is they have personal objectives on each of the pre-start characters you're supposed to reach. And if you reach them, you gain awards. And if you didn't know anything about 40K, any of the actual lore, you're sunk.
Because a lot of it was like, I was playing... What White is Scar. His name? He was the White Scar Space Marine pre-generated character. And, one of his objectives was, like, describe how this would or would not apply to the Codex Astartes. And it's like, well, if you don't know what that is, I have a basic knowledge, because I'm an Ultramarines player, so upholding the Codex Astartes is number one priority.
Of course, wants to ditch it, but...
Yeah, you know, when it's convenient for me. I have a basic, like, idea of it and just, like, general lore, but if, like, I went and got my sister, who knows, like, Tau battle suits are cool, and that's about the extent of her 40K knowledge.
She's lost.
She would have no idea what she's looking at.
We had a friend there playing with us that is... To say he's new to 40K would be an understatement.
Yeah.
And he's like... Looking at the comments, I'm like, I don't know what half this stuff is.
Yeah. Like, we had to stop and explain, like, the ecclesiarchy and stuff like that.
Ecclesiarchy, the uplifting primer, the role of a commissar.
Yeah, just what a commissar is. But, all in all, I had so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. I definitely want to play more and try and get a hold of some of the other books and stuff for it.
I'm thinking about going to get the core rulebook, honestly. Trying to find
trying to find it.
Because I'd like to see how you make characters.
I wonder if they sell that on GW's website, like in the boxed games section, which
I might have to check.
Where they put all the games that aren't. Because
if they do, I may have to get with our local game guy and say, can you get me this book?
Yeah, true. So either way, that was... I love the game. I can't wait to play more of it.
Yeah,
it was,
hopefully tonight we can play some more.
It was so fun. And with that, we can talk, speaking of our local game guy, over at the shop Monolith Games here in our... hometown, basically.
If you're listening in Northwest Arkansas, look them up.
Yeah, it's in Siloam Springs. And we went to a, like, I don't know if it was actually supposed to be, like, a meet-and-greet game.
It was supposed to be a 200-point tournament that turned into six people just kind of milling around on tables.
But I pretty much, that's how I treated it, was like a meet and greet. It was more to meet people than it was...
Yeah.
Because, I mean, 200-point game is
not
gonna...
That's kind of sad. You can't really get your army on the board with that.
But I still had fun, even though it just ended up being you versus me, like the past two games we'd had.
Yeah.
But we had... Who was it? We had a Imperial Guard player that was there.
We had an Imperial Guard. We had Space Wolves.
Yep,
we had
Space
two
Wolves.
Necron players.
Two Necron players.
A Death Guard and Nids.
Yep, and then me with my Death Guard and Dalton
with
my
Nids.
Nids. And I mean, I still had fun. It was cool just to sit and talk with people.
Unfortunately, it went the way where we were like, it's going to be me and you versus each other right off the bat. Yeah, probably. And it, sure enough.
Random dice roll ended up. It was me and Dalton going against each other.
So...
But, all in all, I mean, I still had fun. It was still, I could have not gone, but I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
So, anyway, if you want to know what the outcome of that was...
It's on Instagram, go look it up.
Yeah, I made a post on Instagram, because I won again.
Well,
see, that's the thing, is I was talking...
He got good rolls.
I did, too.
I got bad rolls.
I was talking with my... dad about it, because he was asking me how the game went, and I was like, yeah, but once it gets to higher point values, I'm gonna be the one that starts getting tabled. And he was like, well, why do you say that? I was like, because he'll have double the models I have for the same amount of points.
I still had double the models you had, and you still tabled me.
Essentially, but I mean, what'd you have? Like,
actually,
a
no,
squad
you had more, because you had
17 Poxwalkers.
You had 17 Poxwalkers that every time they killed one of my Termagants, yep. they brought another Poxwalker back.
Yeah, which is the funniest rule. Just any infantry model, it's all it says, is it just has to have the infantry keyword. So I was turning Termagants.
Termagants into Poxwalkers.
Into Poxwalkers. yeah, but I don't know, it was pretty fun. It was cool to hang out with the people that did show up.
Yeah.
And then hanging out with Ben and Amber is always fun.
We're supposed to be grabbing objectives that game. I was like, okay, well, make sure you need to, you really need to grab objectives. Yeah, okay.
Really make sure.
Melee started murdering each other.
Just really make sure, you know, with your objective placement, you know, you're strategic about it. Yeah, whatever, sure,
We knew how this was going to go. The only way for any of us to win was to kill the other side.
Yep, just immediately walk to the other side of the board and kill each other.
And he won because he got, like, what was it? Slay the Warlord, draw first blood.
And technically I would have been holding at least an
you
objective.
Had, you had, I think, two different objectives held, and you were in my,
yeah.
in my deployment zone.
I
was running a very shooty army of Nids.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, it was still good. It's just, yeah, I got lucky on
200 points.
Yeah, and plus, yeah, with it being 200 points,
should have just brought the Tyrannifex and seen what happened.
Yeah, just the one Tyrannifex.
It was exactly 200 points.
And now that we've started kind of getting into actually collecting a faction. More me than you, because you've already been doing it. It's just me. I've just now started. Even though I've been playing, or well, at
you
least in the hobby as long as you have.
Yeah.
I wanted to discuss how now we would start a collection if, like, we just got into the hobby, but knowing what we know about what we've done and how we've started collections.
Yeah, we both have made... I wouldn't say grievous mistakes.
$250 worth of tactical marines.
I wouldn't say horrendous mistakes. I'll rephrase that for him. But I would definitely say if you're going to start, if you have a faction like, if they have a start collecting, go with that.
Yeah, that's pretty sound advice. I think what I would do would be, I mean, if they have a start collecting, that's all well and cool. But some of the start collecting for factions, and this is just my personal opinion, I don't really like them. Like the orcs. The orcs is okay. You get the box of boys, and you get a death dread, which is pretty alright. But you don't get like an HQ unit. You get an elite choice.
Which can sub as an HQ.
He can, I think, be a warlord, but that's not the same.
Yeah.
So what I think I would do, if I was getting into it, would be... to make a patrol detachment. Get an HQ model, a troop choice, and start with that.
Yeah.
And then you play a couple, even if it's just like 50-point games, you play a couple with that with somebody. See if you're liking that, then move on to a, maybe then make a battalion detachment. Pick up another HQ and another two troop choices.
Yeah.
And then, after you play games with that, so that's probably going to be, what, around 300 to 500, depending on faction...
Points or...
Points.
Yeah, that'd be right. I would say 3 to 500, depending on your faction.
You know, then that, I feel like you could really tell if you really like this faction or not.
And you won't have ended up sinking $400,
you know,
$500.
You wouldn't have made, like, full battalion detachments with several elite choices and all this stuff like we had done. That's how I would recommend doing it, is starting with a patrol. Just starting really... To some people might seem hard to start that small, because it is for me.
Oh, it was hard.
I hated with how I started my Death Guard, which is why I've kind of just speed bought a lot of stuff. But I hated starting with just like an HQ and then just one thing in troops, because I was like, well, I want to, you know, get to playing games. But trust me, taking it slow is infinitely better.
Yeah, if you have someone sitting there going like, when are you going to buy more models? Don't let them rush you.
Yeah.
Even if you don't pay them, make sure, I would say from what I've noticed on my side, build what you got before you buy more.
Yeah.
Because I've got several boxes I still need to build. I've already got, like, a box of Carnifexes coming in.
Yep. So that's I think, our own perspectives on how we would start. If you like the start collecting, then by all means, buy that.
Well, a lot of them, like, not all of them are great, but, like...
A lot of them are pretty good. Like, the Imperial Guard Astromilitarum one is good. The Tempestus Scion is good.
The Tyranid one's good.
Tyranid one is very good. Tyranid actually has a couple. There's some that are a little older that have different models. Yeah. But, I mean, they're both good.
Because it gives you a super heavy HQ and a troop choice.
Yeah. Let's see. The Space Marine ones are pretty good. If you like the older Marines, then the just regular Stark Collecting Space Marines is pretty good. You get a Venerable Dreadnought, squad of tactical marines, and the captain and terminator armor, so that's pretty decent spread. And then the newer ones, they've got like Start Collecting Vanguard Space Marines, which is all the like newer Primaris models, and I believe there's one more, but I cannot remember the name of it and what is in it. But yeah, so start collecting boxes if you find one for the faction that you want to do and you like it. Then good, do that. But otherwise, that's how I would start, as a patrol detachment.
Because I'll say, but going by what he says, you can always go get a Broodlord at like a box of jeans stores for like $50.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and you'll be surprised how well that right there alone works out.
Yeah, and it also does. I would say depend based on your faction, because some of them. The troop choices are a little weak on their own. But as a whole, I would say either the start collecting box or making a one HQ, one troop choice patrol detachment.
Yeah.
And just starting there. And yeah, just really take it slow and think about it, because it's a lot of money you're going to be sinking into this hobby.
Yes.
I've got a lot of money that is just derelict sitting on my shelf, never, most likely.
Well, you've got plans for it.
I got plans for some of it, yeah.
You got plans for some of it. Swear you take a hammer to one of them drop pods.
No, God, no. Maybe.
Like most people.
Maybe a little.
Most people. Well, I'm going to paint this up, get it all nice and set up, and then I'm going to smash it with a mallet about 8 times.
Turn it to a terrain piece.
You spend $100 and some between painting, time painting, and buying the model and putting it together to have a terrain piece you could have went and spent $50 to print out on a 3D printer.
That's true. So, now that we've talked about starting collections, I figured like we could start with... or we could talk about the factions that we're into now that I have finally dedicated myself to a faction, and kind of talk about how we got into them and why and what we're doing with them. I'll go ahead and start first. The more Death Guard I play, the more I feel confident in playing a 2,000-point list of Death Guard. It's the first faction where I've played a game. It's not necessarily because the 200-point games, you know, I've won them. Because, I mean, it's 200 points. But I just feel like if I had that 200 points, you know, plus this many more, I feel like I have a really good base for something that...
Yeah, oh yeah.
A decent army. I feel like I have a decent army here. Like, right now, I can pull up my list really quick. Of just all the models I have. We're actually going to play a game later, me using all of my models, and Dalton here, he's got a little more than me, but it's not
Well, I've
much.
Got stuff that's big in
that's
points.
That's true.
That's what, like, we'll probably have the same number of models, and I probably have more points of models, but what I'm bringing will equal his points because I have a lot of big things.
So, right now, all the Death Guard models that I have, and all of them are built... and in some stage of work in progress. They're either base coated or some of them are just primed, and some of them are actually finished.
Mine is raw plastic.
I have got... Well, you got the one.
I've got one.
Yeah?
I've got one.
Your one is painted.
One is painted.
And
you did a great job. Thank you.
You know what? I'll take a compliment where a compliment's given. So my current Death Guard that I have, 900 points, I went ahead and made it into a battalion detachment just for, you know, CP and all that. I have a Lord of Contagion, and he will be acting as my warlord, probably, don't want to say my permanent warlord, but for the foreseeable future, he will just be my warlord every time.
Yeah.
And he is pretty nasty. He's got... a Plague Reaper, which is just the... if you just get a Lord of Contagion in, like, a starter box or whatever, that's the weapon you're gonna get. And then for his Warlord trait, he has Revoltingly Resilient, which is where he gets to add one on all of his Disgustingly Resilient rolls. So he Disgustingly Resilient rolls on a 4+ instead
of a 5.
Yeah, that
was also helping you out a lot.
Well,
you were rolling 4 and ups.
And then the cool thing that makes that cool... is his relic, which is the, I'm going to try and pronounce this here, the separating plate, which is the bearer has a save characteristic of 2+, which he already had. In addition, roll a dice each time a model this model passes a saving throw in the fight phase. On a 4+, the unit that inflicted that wound suffers a mortal wound after all of its attacks have. Yeah. So
that's
pretty cool.
That's bitter in my mouth.
So I really like him. His name is Lord Pertussius, which for the medical students out there, or anyone who can use Google, which is what I did, is just adding one letter to pertussis, which is whooping cough. You'll notice a theme. All of my named characters, which is all of my like HQs, are respiratory illnesses. And I've nicknamed my Lord of Contagion Chad. Is what I refer to him as the most.
Yeah.
He is an absolute Chad. This man is a legend. I really love the model. I love the look of him. I've loved painting him so far. He's actually almost done. I had to wait on one. I think it was Screamer Pink.
Yeah, Screamer Pink
is the paint that I didn't have, and now I do have it, so I can actually finish him. So he's pretty good. He is my warlord. My other HQ choice is a Malignant Plague Caster, which is like the psyker for Death Guard.
Yeah.
His psychic powers that he has are Miasma of I just picked the first two, but I also kind of like them, so I'm just keeping him with that. His first psychic power is Miasma of Pestilence, which has a warp charge value of 6, so that's pretty, that's right on average.
Yeah.
Its range is 18 inches, and it is, if manifested, select a visible friendly Death Guard unit within 18 inches of the psyker. Until the start of your next psychic phase, your opponent must subtract 1 from all hit rolls against that unit. So that's pretty good. His next one is Plague Wind, which is a warp charge value of 5. Its range is also 18 inches, and it says, if manifested, select a visible enemy unit within 18 inches of the psyker, roll a die for each model in that unit. That unit suffers a mortal wound for each roll of 6. You roll a d6 for each model in the unit. So you're a 30 gaunt blob? That's 30 rolls, and any 6 is a mortal wound, so that kills one on any 6. Yeah, you'll notice another theme here with Death Guard is its mortal wound generation is very high. It's very good. And then he has Smite like every other psyker, and in case you don't know what Smite is, it is warp charge value 5, range 18 inches, and then if manifested, choose the closest visible enemy unit within 18 inches of the psyker, suffers D3 mortal wounds. If the result of the psychic test is 10 or more, the unit suffers D6 mortal wounds instead. So that's generic Smite.
Damn.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Then for my troops, moving on to those, I have 5 Plague Marines. The champion has a bolt gun and plague knife, just the generic champion.
Yeah.
I could not get a icon of despair in here, but I don't actually own an icon bearer anyway, so.
Sadness.
I'm planning on buying one. Then I have 3 Plague Marines with bolt guns. And then 1 Plague Marine with special weapon, which is a plasma gun. So it's okay. I'm waiting to get a full squad of 7.
Yeah. That will definitely make them a little bit more.
Yeah. A lot of people say that running 7 just really gets them messed up on morale. I don't know. I tried to do the math, and I was like, I think I would have to lose 3 in one turn, and then roll a 6 to fail, to lose 1 model.
Yeah, at what point, how many are you losing
like,
to actually
get at that point, like, the unit's probably just dead anyway, so, like, either way, I plan on running full squads of 7, I just gotta pick up the, easy-to-build Plague Marines to finish out this squad. And then, to make it a battalion detachment, I split my 20 Poxwalkers into 2 squads of 10. I actually have 22 or 23 Poxwalkers, but you have to have a minimum of 10 to make a squad.
Fair.
So, it's 2 squads of 10 Poxwalkers. Chaff. Then I have 1 elite choice, which is the Noxious Blightbringer, and he has a really cool ability called Toxin of Misery, which is units must subtract 1 from their leadership whilst they are within 7 inches of an enemy Noxious Blightbringer. Psykers must subtract 2 from their leadership instead. In addition, if a Death Guard unit is within 7 inches of this model, when it advances, roll 2 dice and discard the lowest result when picking distance.
Okay.
So for, like, a lot of the Terminators and stuff and the Cataphracti armor where they have to have their
charge.
Advance distance.
Is it charge or just advance?
It's just advance.
Oh, okay, that doesn't have to charge.
But with Plague Marines being, you know, speed 5 anyway, that helps you catch up to a lot of... Because, I mean, regular Space Marines are, I think, base speed 6.
I mean, most of mine are base speed 6.
Exactly. So that helps me catch up as far as actually getting to the other side of the board where I need to be. And then otherwise, he's just armed with a... He's got a plasma pistol as his weapon. And then he has a unique melee weapon, which is the Cursed Plague Bell, which is strength 4... AP 0, and then does 2 damage, so it's better than, you know, just base hitting.
Yeah.
But you can also, it's not a plague weapon, but it's a plague weapon. You can reroll wound rolls of 1 for this weapon. It just doesn't have the plague weapon keyword.
Okay.
I'm really glad I picked him up. He's pretty good, and he's only 55 points.
Dang.
Yeah. And then to finish off this 900 point list, I have 2 fast attack, options. I have 1 floated bloat drone, just base with plague spitters. That's how everyone runs them, and that's what came in the box that I bought. And I don't think they have anything just look super amazing. They do have a 5-up pinball save, because they are a demon engine. They're demonic.
Okay. That's not bad.
And plague spitters is range 9 inches, assault D6, strength user, AP minus 1, 1 damage, and it's a plague weapon. And it automatically hits. It's like a flamer. So it's like a flamer with AP minus 1, essentially.
Dang, that's actually somewhat scary.
Well, yeah, especially when it auto-hits. So, like, on Overwatch, I just roll how many hits, because they automatically hit.
Yeah.
And I have 2 of them.
That's actually somewhat terrifying.
Yeah, blood drones are pretty good. I'm planning on getting another one for the, you know, big 2,000-point list I'm planning. And then... To round it off, I have 3 Myfitic Blight Haulers. I feel like it's a pretty common sight to see 3 of them. The bonus that they get for having 3 isn't, like, you know,
monstrous.
Amazing. I wouldn't say it's worth running 3, but I want to run 3. I really like the models.
I mean, that is your... I'd rather play this and run a list I enjoy than run a meta list and hate.
So these guys, but they still are actually pretty decent. The abilities they have, they are also a demon engine, so 5 plus invul save. They have disgustingly resilient, as well as the drone. Then they have foul stench, which is enemy units must subtract 1 from any hit roll that target this unit in the fight phase. So that helps protect them if they get charged. Then they have putrescent fog, which is friendly Death Guard units that are entirely within 7 inches of a Myfitic Blight Hauler gain the benefit of cover when making their saves.
Nice.
So I'll get... all my Plague Marines will save on 2s instead of 3s.
Yeah.
Yep. Unless, you know, someone runs like Imperial Fist or somebody who can ignore cover.
But I mean, those two, you'd be surprised what that 1 die difference will make.
Then they can also explode. The Death Guard have a unique thing for explosion, which is... The range is 7 inches, as opposed to 6, because 7 is Nurgle's number.
Yeah.
You'll notice any aura will be 7 inches.
Because Nurgle's number is 7.
Which is, when this Myfitic Blighthauler is reduced to 0 wounds, roll a die before removing it from the battlefield. On a 4+, it explodes, and each unit within 7 inches suffers a mortal wound. So
I think it has a better explode chance.
Does it? I can't remember.
Explosion happens on 6.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Because death throws for Tyranids, I think it's the same thing. I think it's only on a 6+, they have death throws.
Huh. Then after that, this is the benefit for having 3 of them, is Trilobe, which is add 1 to hit rolls made for this unit whilst it contains 3 models. So normally it would hit on a 4, both weapon and ballistic skill, and now it'll hit on a 3 if you have 3 of them. That said, you know, when one gets blown up, then you lose that. But, I mean...
At that point,
they're still pretty tanky little dudes.
At that point, though, chances are there's more than whatever's blowing it up. There's one close enough to do it.
And then the real kicker for these models is the Tri-Tract ability, which is this model does not suffer the penalty for moving and firing heavy weapons. Spoiler alert: all its weapons. Its weapons, actually, no, it's got one that isn't. It has a Bile Spurt, which is range 12, assault D3, strength 6, AP minus 1, 1 damage, and it's a plague weapon, so reroll once a wound.
That gets annoying.
Then its melee attack, which is its cute little awesome little mouth. It has Gnashing Maw, which is strength 6, AP minus 2, 1 damage, plague weapon. So reroll once to wound.
God damn it.
Then, its actual guns, it has a missile launcher, which it has frag and crack missiles. So frag missiles is range 48 inches, heavy D6, does not suffer the penalty for moving and firing because of tri-tract. Strike 4, AP 0, 1 damage, no plague weapon. So, you know, for like infantry and stuff.
Yeah.
And then to fight armor, it's got crack missiles, which is range 48, heavy 1, strength 8, AP minus 2, D6. Still not a plague weapon.
Thank God. That would be scary if that was a plague weapon.
And then, one of my favorite weapons in all of Warhammer, the Multimelta, which is range 24, wait, heavy 1, strength 8, AP minus 4, D6 damage.
It has a Multimelta?
Yeah.
What?
Which is, when this target is within half range of this weapon, roll 2 dice when inflicting damage with it and discard the lowest result. And did I mention it has Hateful Assault? You know Hateful Assault pretty
okay.
well.
Okay.
Which is, when this unit makes a charge move, is charged, or performs a heroic intervention, add 1 to the attack's characteristic, which means each one would have 4 attacks with a strength 6, AP minus 2, 1 damage weapon. That's also a plague weapon.
Okay, I know what I'm blowing off the board first.
See, exactly. That's the thing, is a lot of people are like, oh man, these sound really cool, but any, you know, player that is quote-unquote smart
blows him off the board.
Exactly. It's kind of like, you know, a lot of your bigger, like, Tyrannophexes. I'm not just going to let that thing, you know,
sit there.
Kind of exist. So, you know, it's just, you know, rolls can be good for you, bad for your opponent. You can keep them alive. In the end, really, the only reason I have them is the cover save.
Yeah.
And then otherwise, it's just cool to have a whole lot of anti-tank weaponry.
I mean, yeah, because Tyranids eventually get to that point where bigger Tyranids are hard to crunch.
And that is 900 points right on the dot. It is 59 power level and then 900 points. That is my 900 point list. That's all the Death Guard models I own.
Okay. Well, mine is 901 because I could not get one number knocked off of it. I'm sorry.
I'll allow it.
I am sorry. I could not subtract a single point. For some reason, it was hard to find a single point to subtract. 61 power level, 5 CP.
All right.
We're going to start off with, it's High Fleet Hydra. The High Fleet adaptation for them is Swarming Instincts,
mm-hmm.
which I can reroll hit rolls in a fight phase for units with this adaptation that target the unit containing, targets units containing fewer models than it.
So that's most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these guys go after a set of Space Marines, they can get rerolls to hit. I took the Stratagem Bounty of the High Fleet,
uh-huh.
which gives me, instead of 1, 2 relics.
Uh-huh.
And I took the, for my Broodlord, one of my HQ units, got Resonance Bard, which gives it an extra cast and deny.
Nice. Yeah,
and adds 1 to psychic phases, to the psychic roll.
Yeah, that's a pretty good relic.
Broodlord gets Brood Telepathy. I add 1 to hit rolls for all Gene Stealers within 6 inches of it.
Yeah.
Gets lightning reflexes. Models with this unit get a 5-up invuln.
Nice.
Then it has Shadow on the Warp. Enemy psychers must subtract 1 from psychic tests they make.
Sweet.
Within 18 inches of this unit.
Awesome.
So even if I don't get the Deny the Witch off, subtract 1.
Yeah, still subtract 1.
So then it gets Swift and Deadly. Can charge even if it advances.
Nice.
Then it has Synapse, which creates 12 inches of it. Ignore morale tests.
Yeah.
The 2 second powers I gave it was Death Shriek.
Mm-hmm.
6 inches, range is 6 inches, warp charge is 5. Until the start of your next psychic phase, when a friendly Hydra model within 6 inches of the Psyker, or within 6 inches, within 6 inches of a Psyker, and another, and 6 inches of an enemy.
Yeah.
Would be destroyed. Roll 1d6. On a 6, the closest enemy unit to that Hydra model suffers 1 mortal wound.
Nice.
So I could just potentially make 12 Hormagaunts into 12 mortal wounds.
Yeah.
Then I gave it Smite, which is Warp Charge 5, range 18, which is the standard Smite, D3, unless I roll 10 or better, then it's a D6, which still isn't.
I mean, that's not bad.
Good Warp Charge.
Yeah.
Because of what it has 2 cast, 2 deny. Mm-hmm. It's a move 8, weapon skill 2, doesn't have ballistic. Broodlords don't.
Yeah.
Broodlords don't have guns.
Same thing with my Lord of Contagion. He has a ballistic skill, but no guns.
Strength 5, toughness 5, wound 6, attack 6.
Uh-huh.
Leadership 10, save is a 4, 5 up.
Nice.
Then he gets Monstrous Rending Claws as his weapon, which is the strength is the user, so it'd be strength 5, AP minus 3, D3. You can reroll failed wound rolls for this weapon. In addition, each time you make a wound roll of 6 up, that hit is resolved with AP minus 6 instead of 3.
Nice.
So that can get to the point where, let's go armor hunt.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Then I've got Tyranid Prime.
Uh-huh.
I believe he's my acting warlord. No, who's my acting warlord? I don't think I have an acting warlord yet for this. Probably be the Broodlord. Alpha Warrior, add 1 to hit rolls for warriors within 6 inches.
Uh-huh.
I gave him Pathogenesis as his relic. It adds 8 inches to the range characteristic of any weapons he has.
Nice.
In addition, when it fires Overwatch or chooses to shoot, I can reroll a single hit roll and a single wound roll.
That's pretty cool.
So even if I hit, I'm like, well, I didn't hit with that one. Well, reroll.
Yeah.
Same with wounds. Well, that didn't wound, reroll.
Yeah. And I mean, you might as well do it.
Yeah, because even if I don't hit a wound, I may reroll into a hit and into a wound.
Exactly.
Has Shadow of the Warp, Synapse. I gave him Toxic Sacks, which any wound of 6 up in the fight phase for this model with Toxic Sack causes 1 additional damage.
Nice.
Just gives him a little bit of bump.
Yeah.
Gave him Bone Swords.
Yep.
Which you're familiar with those.
Yep. Me and my jeans together called.
AP minus 2, 1 damage, 1 additional attack.
Mm-hmm.
Death Spitter is a 24-inch range, but because of Pathogenesis, now it becomes a 32-inch.
Yep, exactly.
Assault 3, Strength 5, AP minus 1, 1 damage.
That's pretty good, yeah.
And then I gave him Flesh Hooks, because when he gets in melee, he has no shooting options.
That's true. Yeah, you can't fire the...
And it's a 6-inch... Because it's a 6-inch that becomes a 14-inch.
Yeah, with the Pathogenesis.
Yeah. Assault 2, Strength of User, so Strength 5. Which I'll get... I noticed I passed over that. I'll get back to that.
Yeah.
AP is 0, 1 damage, can be fired within 1 inch of an enemy unit, and can target enemy units within 1 inch of friendly units.
Nice.
So even if he's not in melee, he can still reach out. Yeah, he
can still assist and help in melee, yeah.
Yeah. He is a movement 6, weapon skill 2,
mm-hmm.
ballistic skill 3, strength 5, toughness 5, 6 wounds, 4 attacks, 10 leadership, save up a 3 up.
Nice.
Then for my troops, I brought 8 Gene Stealers.
All right. Yeah, I'm familiar with the Gene Stealers.
2 have Acid Maws.
Don't remember what those do.
AP minus 3, 1 damage. Strength user. It's a good
little AP minus 3.
AP minus 3. But if with Gene Stealers, what makes them good with Tyranids is if you have 10 or more models,
uh-huh.
instead of 3 attacks, they get 4.
Yeah, they get an additional attack.
Flurry of Claws. And this is something I don't really use because it's a wordy type list,
uh-huh.
but if your army includes any units of Gene Stealers, you can place up to 4 infestation nodes anywhere in your deployment zone when your army deploys. You may set up any Gene Stealers lurking instead of placing them on the battlefield. If an enemy model is ever within 9 inches of an infestation node, the node is destroyed and removed from the battlefield. Whilst there are friendly infestation nodes on the battlefield, this unit can stop lurking at the end of your movement phase set up wholly within 6 inches of a friendly infestation node. The infestation node is then removed from the battlefield. If the unit is still working when the last friendly infestation node is removed, the unit is destroyed.
Yeah, so that's a lot like the cult ambush for Gene Stealer Call.
Yeah, but it's only my deployment zone. I'm like at that point.
Yeah, that's also the...
I'm looking at that like I could just deploy them.
Yeah. That's the whole thing with the Gene Stealer Cult. The Cult Ambush is also only in their deployment zone.
But you get Lightning Reflexes like the Brood Ward. Uh-huh. Dive up inbound saves, which are, for a troop choice, nice.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's what, statistically, it's...
It gets the Swift and Deadly of the Brood Lord, so even if advances, can still charge.
Charge, yeah, which is very good.
And I also gave them Toxin Sacks. Wounds are 6 up, add additional wound. It doesn't hurt.
I mean, yeah.
For a handful of points.
Why not?
Then Hormagaunts.
Yep.
These little clawy boys I'm building here.
Yep. The gaunts that are melee-focused, right?
Yep. They get Bounding Leap. Whenever this unit piles in and consolidate, it can move up to 6 inches.
Nice.
So
instead of 3, yeah.
Even the ones way back can decide to come up and say hi.
Which is good when you run, you know, big blobs of troops to get the most in.
Gets Hungry and Swarm, which I'm going to really worry about the 900-point game because I'm only running 12 of them.
Yeah.
Whenever it contains 20 or more models, reroll wound rolls of 1.
Nice.
So, instinctive behavior. Yeah, this is where troop choices start getting a little sad. Instinctive behavior is a unit with this ability is within 24 inches of a friendly synapse unit. Subtract 1. Yeah, unless this unit is within 24 inches, I subtract 1 from any hit rolls made for when it's not shooting the nearest model, enemy model, or unit. It subtract 2 from the charge rolls if I'm not charging the nearest.
Nearest, yeah.
And at that point, they suffer morale.
Yeah, because
they are way outside of synapse range.
Yeah. Which is partly what was so bad about our 200-point game. Is because
I just didn't have...
I either killed your prime, or...
The prime and warriors had synapse.
Or they were just out of range.
Yeah.
The gaunts were just out of range.
Yeah. And it turned into, I'm trying to fall back and get far enough to, like, I need to shoot. Oh,
yeah.
He's charging me again.
Yeah.
And he kept getting good charge rolls, so I couldn't get far enough away to start shooting his poxwalkers.
Yeah.
They are a move 8, weapon and ballistic 4,
uh-huh.
strength 3, toughness 3, 1 wound, 2 attack, leadership 5, with a 6 up save.
Yeah.
So any AP minus,
oh, yeah,
throw them off the board.
I mean, they're, you know, basically just chaff.
They're chaff units. But they get Scything Talons, which, unfortunately, they only have 1 pair.
Mm.
And not 2, which is understandable. The strength user, so it's only a strength 3 attack, 1 damage, no AP minus. I can reroll hit rolls of 1 when attacking with this weapon.
That's still pretty nice to have.
If they had 2, I could also make an additional attack with this weapon each time it fights. But
nice.
They only have
one
pair.
They only have 2 arms.
But when you have,
you know,
40
yeah.
of them.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It can, because with I can reroll hit rolls in the fight phase with them anyway because of swarming instincts.
Yeah.
So. And then Termagants are move 6. They have instinctive behavior as well. They have Hell of Living Ammunition, which if a model contains 20 or more units, reroll wound rolls of 1 when it shoots.
Nice.
They have the shooting version of what
they
have. They are a move 6, weapon and ballistic 4, strength 3, toughness 3, wound 1, attack 1, leadership 5, save 6. They're effectively these guys.
Yeah, they're the same thing, but they shoot.
Yeah. And I got one of those equipped with Flesh Boars, which is a range 12, assault 1, strength 4, 1 damage. And then I've got another group of Termagants. And they're equipped with Devourers, which is a range 18, assault 3, strength 4, 1 damage.
Nice.
And then I'm running Warriors. Tyranny Warriors.
Yep.
The best troop choice, I'd have to say, in this whole section. They have Shadow on the Warp, they have Synapse, they have Toxin Sacks.
Mm.
They're a move 6, weapon 3, ballistic 4, strength and toughness 4, attack 3, wound 3, 4 up save, leadership 9.
Having 3 wounds is pretty nice.
Yeah. Until Chad gets to him. And
hit and die. Until Chad starts looking their direction.
Yeah. Hit and die. They're running Bone Swords and they're also running Death Spitters.
Nice.
For my elite choices, I've got 3 Venom Throats.
There you go.
which they have the instinctive behavior. Uh-huh. They're never going to be far enough away from synapse creature because of what they do.
Yep.
They have shrouding spores, which opponents must subtract one from hit rolls for ranged weapons that target just high fleet units, excluding monsters.
Uh-huh.
So, like, the Tyrannothex.
Yeah.
You can... He's too big.
Yeah. The spores don't cover him.
Yeah. Within 6 inches of the friendly high fleet venom throws.
Yep.
In addition, your opponent must subtract one from hit rolls in melee in the fight phase.
If they're monsters, right?
Yep.
Nice. Yeah, that'll really help stuff like Tyrannothex.
And the range is 6 inches, but if I had three more, it'd go to 9 inches.
Because that's where you really want those big models is in melee. So that really helps them having to...
Actually, the Tyrannothex is not a melee.
Really?
It's a tank.
Huh.
It is a heavy weapons platform, which we're getting to it. It's the next one. It's my heavy support.
Nice.
I was able to fit it on this list. So the Tyrannothex, my pride and joy. The Tyrannothex is a biotank. This model does not suffer penalty to hit rolls for moving and firing heavy weapons.
So like my Blighthaulers.
Yep. It has death throws. When it hits wounds of zero, I roll a dice before removing it from the battlefield. On a six, it lashes out its death throws, and each unit within 3 inches suffers D3 mortal wounds.
Nice.
Which, depending on what all is swarming around its feet while you're also killing it, could also not turn out too well for me.
Well, yeah. It's a trade-off.
It is.
Just like regular explosions.
Yep. It does have instinctive behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weapon beast. If it does not move in your movement phase, you can shoot all of its weapons twice in your shooting phase.
Nice.
Yeah it's no, it's...
One of the new Primaris, I think it's the Repulsor Executioner, its main weapon also gets that rule.
Well, remember this Tyrannophex fought the Repulsor.
Yeah.
And when we played Tabletop Simulator.
That is true. Yeah.
And I got incredibly bad die roll, but I knocked him down, one or two wound brackets.
Something like that. Yeah.
I whopped him, and I had bad die roll.
That's just kind of my experience is with... That Repulsor Executioner, just every time I've run it in
Tabletop
Simulator, I just statistically worse roll. It's got like a strength 10, AP minus 4, like FU cannon. But
I think that cannon missed. What it was all of your like storm bolters, heavy bolters, all of his light weaponry shot at the Tyrannophex and just blew it off the board. His main gun missed.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been able to hit with it, ever. And
if it hits, it hits like a damn truck.
Yeah, and I think I have like a weapon skill of 3, so it's not even like it's that hard.
Well, I think you hit, I just kept saving against it.
Oh yeah, stuff like that too, yeah.
Okay, so to get to its main stats, it's a stat bracket of 3.
Uh-huh.
It has 14 wounds to start.
All right, so like the Repulsor Executioner. Yeah.
Has ballistic 4, so it's not the best shot, but
But I mean, you know, for what else it has, it's pretty okay.
It's a strength 7, 4 attacks in melee.
Nice.
And then its next bracket activates whenever it hits 7 wounds,
mm-hmm.
in between 4 and 7. And it's a ballistic 5, strength 6, attacks 3.
All right.
And then 1 to 3, it's a ballistic 5, strength 5, attacks 2.
All right, yeah. So, I mean, even in the end, it's still not... Because I've seen brackets that are way worse than that.
Yeah. So, what this thing is, I've noticed real quick, is like, when you get past that second wound bracket, you might as well start charging because your weapon skill is 4 on this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can start charging and just going to melee because it's still got a lot of wounds and it's not a bad melee, strength 6.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So... It has a movement of 6, which is a lot for what it is.
Well, yeah, for the size and everything, too, yeah.
It is weapon 4. It's a toughness 8. 14 wounds. Attacks are mentioned in brackets. Leadership 7, so I don't have to worry about morale.
Yeah.
And a save up 3.
Yeah, that's pretty good, too, having a
3
plus save.
Since, especially with melee armies, I keep the Venom Thropes on it, because...
Yeah.
When melee units come in, okay, well, the Venom Thropes are there to help make that a 2-up save.
Exactly, yeah.
If someone's shooting at him, well, I need to go find cover.
Yeah.
And lots of it. Has powerful limbs,
mm-hmm.
which is strength of the user, so depending on where his bracket's at.
Yeah.
AP minus 1, 2 damage.
Nice,
I mean, that's not a bad...
That's pretty decent for having, what was it, 4 attacks or 5 attacks?
4 attacks.
4 attacks, yeah.
4 attacks at max bracket,
yeah,
strength
max.
7.
Yeah.
Then it has the rupture cannon, which is probably my favorite gun of all the
games. Yeah, I feel like I'm not going to like the next words that you say.
The rupture cannon has a range of 48 inches.
That's good.
Heavy 3.
Uh-huh.
Strength 10.
Oh, you know.
AP minus 3.
Just casual, yeah.
D6 damage.
You know, whatever. You know, it's just, it's whatever.
And then it has another gun.
So, I think my Fiddick Blight Haulers have a target.
If I don't shoot them off the board first.
That's true.
It has Stinger Salvo, which is a range 24, assault 4, strength 5, AP minus 1, 1 damage.
Nice.
So.
But. All right, what other unholy abominations do you have hiding in that list?
They also have something called Extension of the Hive Mind.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know how objectives are. Okay, let's say I have 2 Hormagons here.
Yep.
And you've got 3 Poxwalkers. Well, technically, you have control of the objective.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as long as my army is battle-forged...
Which it is.
Yep. All units gain this ability. Such a unit that was within range of an objective marker, as specified in a mission...
Uh-huh.
Controls the objective marker, even if there are more enemy models within range of the objective marker.
Nice. I think I have...
If an enemy unit within range of the same objective marker has a similar ability, then the objective marker is controlled by the player who has the most models within range.
I think... I don't know if I have a similar ability in my Death Guard list, but I think something in my Death Guard list can give that ability as well.
Yeah. And I'm just like... I mean... Most of the games we played haven't been objective games because
Yeah,
200
true.
Points is just not worth
200
screaming
points
around the
is
battlefield.
Not an objective game.
Not worth going around the battlefield going ping, 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 move and grab an objective.
Yep.
Uh-oh, they're getting too close, run.
Yeah.
Oh, they're getting too close, run, because melee army's got to kill off my guys. Well, the only way they're going to do that is to get up in melee.
My 200-point list had 0 guns.
Yeah.
I had no shooting.
Yeah.
I was all melee.
I didn't want to play the game of just like, I'm going to sit back here and shoot him to death. I didn't want to play that game. I could have, and probably would have won if I did that. I didn't want to do that.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you got anything else in that 900 points, or
that
finally
is,
done?
That is it.
Sounds pretty nasty.
We're going to find out.
Yeah, I guess we will find out. Yeah, I mean, I like... my 900-point list, and I like the sound of yours, and by that I mean I absolutely hate it. I hate it so much.
I think the scariest thing in yours is Chad and the...
Chad and the Blight Haulers, probably,
Chad and the Blight Haulers.
Yeah, which is actually the name of my next solo project. It's going to be a jazz-influenced musical project called Chad and the Blight Haulers.
Okay.
I can tell by your face you're not amused.
I'm not amused, but okay then. We'll see how that goes.
So I figured after we discussed our lists, we could, and this might still be more for me than it is for you, but we could discuss what models, you know, that we're like planning on getting next to like bump our list up.
I actually got some stuff.
Well, I'll go ahead and I'll let you go.
So I've got the Carnifexes ordered, as we said earlier.
Yep.
And I'm needing 3 of those. But also, hopefully, when tax returns come through, I'm going to be getting 3 Stonecrusher Carnifexes from Forge World.
From Forge World, yeah.
And I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, I vaguely remember you telling me the stuff that they have, and they sounded pretty good.
Always wound vehicles on 2-up.
Yeah.
Vehicles and buildings always wound on 2-ups.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
They are the definition of a tank hunter. They have more wounds than a Carnifex. They have, I think, the same, if not a better save than a Carnifex. They are very much for going off and... finding tanks.
Yeah.
And they have the same rule where I deploy 3 of them, and then once they're deployed,
they're not an actual unit.
Yeah, they don't have to worry about unit cohesion.
Yeah. I think next, what I'm planning on for my Death Guard is probably the Plagueburst Crawler, the tank.
Yeah.
Getting one of those, because I want to try it out. And that will actually, what I'm going to do for my next kind of list, my like milestone list that I'm planning is 1,200 points.
Yeah, which I can also pump out right now.
Yeah.
I got everything built, I can pump out a 1,200-point list.
And I'm going to, and it might be a bad decision, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take out the drone from this 900-point list and add in the tank, and then it'll be adding another squad of Plague Marines, and I think that's actually the only difference. Between the two lists. Because I'm going to give the tank a try before I, you know, spend $250 on Tactical Marines I never use.
You don't want to buy 3 of those tanks and go, these tanks really suck.
Yeah,
I could run
that drones. I don't like how I'm... Because I know a lot of people I've been kind of asking around with people who I know play Death Guard, like on Instagram and stuff, and all of them were like, well, are you running a Demon Prince of Nurgle? Well, no. I mean, I like the look of the model. I like how cartoony he is, but I don't really like the model. I prefer my Lord of Contagion, personally. And they're like, well, you should run a Demon Prince of Nurgle. I'm like, I'll take that under advisement.
Not gonna run a Demon Prince of Nurgle.
Well,
it's like same thing with Tyranids. I think it's like the poor man's strat for winning tournaments was a Nurnthrope and a bunch of Carnifexes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're effective. They're good at what they do, but it's like, to me, that doesn't sound fun.
I don't want to run 8 Carnifexes in the Nurnthrope.
Yeah.
Which, I like the Nurnthrope, I like the Carnifexes. There's more variety out there in Tyranids than just Nurnthrope and Carnifexes.
The kind of strat for my army, and how I'm wanting to play it is, I've seen it around a couple places, and I feel like it's a pretty popular way to play it, is, it's not necessarily more infantry-based, but that's what it is based around. So running the 3 Mephitic Blight Haulers, giving everyone cover saves, essentially what it is the Blight Haulers and the Plague Marines will stay, and then, like, Chad and my Psyker HQ, they're going to stay in that 7-inch bubble, and they're going to move around as a bubble. And then I have, like, the drones. I plan on my 2,000-point list. I think I have 2 of them. I have 2 drones, and then if I like the tank, I've added 2 Plague Burst Crawlers, and then I have 20 Poxwalkers, just as, you know, kind of bullet sponges.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily planned to be in the bubble, but if they are, then cool.
Sweet. If not, oh well.
Yeah, they're not in that plan. So what I plan on doing is playing... It's definitely more of an elite army for how it is, but I think I'll enjoy that style of play, just kind of moving around block by block. And then sending out these other things, you know, basically to be an annoyance, to give the bubble more time. And I think I'll enjoy it, and that is what my next plan is to plan toward doing that, buying the tank to make sure I like it. I think I will. It's a pretty decent model.
Yeah, and you always keep it a little bit further back out of range and just
yeah, that's true too. It has, I believe how I've outfitted it, is it has the big cannon that all of them have. And then for weapon choices, I've given it 2 Plague Spitters as well. So the range 9, assault, D6, auto-hitting, reroll, 1s to wound, because it's a plague weapon. And then instead of the Heavy Stubber, I've traded out with the Rot Hail Volley Gun, which I believe is more range and 1 more AP. And that's the difference between the two.
Nice.
So that way I could... I kind of wanted a balance between having a really decent... short range capability, but also being able to still hit at range, just for me to feel like I'm getting maximum effectiveness out of the model.
Yeah.
And that's what I plan on getting next, is a 1 Plague Burst Crawler, and then after that is kind of whatever. I need another box of Plague Marines at some point, and a couple of different characters.
I still have the Trigon Prime and the High Tyrant Bill.
Yeah.
But those are, like, way later iterations to the army, so I'm not as just, like, I need to get them built, I need to get them built, but they aren't really going to drop in until after, well after 1,200 points.
Probably. So, that's what we are planning on getting next to bump our list. Of course, you're still ahead of me in points.
Well, it's also because I run a lot more shit than you.
And also because you, like, found, you know... When you got into 40K, it was like, what, Astra Militarum and Tyranids? And you were like, okay, Tyranids are cool. So you started buying Tyranids. Whereas I was like, okay, Space Marines are cool. Started buying Space Marines. I don't like Space Marines. Let's go to this faction. I don't think this faction's going to do good. Let's go to this faction.
But
now that I've finally committed to one, I'm feeling more invested in 40K.
Another thing is, all you out there that listen, we love you to death. But one thing that hurt him a lot, I'm going to say, he's like, people dissing the factions he picked. That was part of it.
Yeah.
And if you're one of those guys out there doing it, stop. Be a grown fucking person. Stop.
Like,
it's not... the occasional once in a while, okay, haha, it's funny. Stop. Because it fucks with people.
And it's like, I understand, because a lot of it is just my personality. I understand that it's all in jest. It's jokes, you know.
Yeah, no, but
I
still
understand they're not doing it to, like, attack me or anything, but it still kind of sucks that every time you ask for help or you just talk about what models you have, that everyone's like, oh, it's fiction. You know?
Like, oh, you got blue smurfs.
Yeah.
Fucking guardsman. My blue smurfs would kick your fucking sentinel across the goddamn board.
And another thing is, I met a guy. Well, we've both met him, but I've met him more. And
met him once, and I don't want to meet him again.
I was talking to him about, and I'm sure he's not a bad guy. I'm sure he's not.
Are we talking about the same guy?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
I'm sure he's not a bad guy, but he just has a very abrasive personality when it came to talking about Warhammer. And he was asking me what, you know, models I had, because I told him I was doing Space Marines, so he asked me what I had, and I was like, well, technically, right now, all I have is a lot of Primaris models, because that's what I'm wanting to build a force of, is strictly Primaris, because I really like the Primaris range. And he immediately, this kid, I don't know how actually old he was, I'm going to call him Kid, because he was acting like it.
Didn't even guess what faction.
No, it's
just
not even that. No, what it was is this guy is just now getting into Warhammer. I'm talking fresh, like maybe a month in the hobby, maybe. And on top of that, he likes Imperial Guard. Nothing against that, you know.
I like Imperial Guard. I've got a few Imperial Guard models.
I like Imperial Guard as well, even though I don't play them. The first thing he says, as soon as I say that, oh, well, it's mostly Primaris models, is, and excuse my French here, fuck Primaris. He said it exactly like that. And I wanted to be like, why? Why? What gave you that opinion? Was someone on the internet saying Primaris suck? Is that the opinion you're going off of? Like, you're just now starting. What kind of opinion do you have as an Imperial Guard player who started a month ago
about Primaris?
On what Primaris Marines are and how they're worse than Tactical Marines.
I mean, my own opinion about Primaris, as he is well aware of, I don't care for how they were necessarily deployed in the lore. I'm all for new models, I'm all for Primaris, I'm all for, I didn't care how they brought them out in the lore.
Mm.
That was it. Otherwise, I'm not going to sit there like, oh, you got Primaris, and then pull my models on the table and fucking leave like some people will.
But either way, like, again, I'm sure he is a great guy. I'm sure he's cool.
You just don't do that shit, though.
Sit and talk to him, but when all he ever did was make jokes about what I played, or, like, just hated what I played on principle.
Yeah. What Space Marine faction? Ultramarines. Oh, those blue ugly smurfs?
Yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of it is I have a very, I'm trying to think of the word now for the personality that I have. It's like, it's not that I take everything personally, but I take most, like, any kind of criticism very personally.
Well, and that stems a lot from what we went through in high school.
So it's just anyone who, you know, because in my brain, I understand he's making, it's just a joke. He's making it, he's, you know,
trying,
he's having
to
fun.
Make a joke, but it is at our expense.
But to me, it is a joke in bad taste.
Yeah. And what, even Jared here has made the occasional joke about it.
No.
And it's his fucking faction.
No.
It's just that every time we go somewhere, anywhere, it's...
And okay. I've actually cut a lot of that stuff out because I know, you know, what it did to me, what it does to people.
I'll make joke about bugs.
And one thing I didn't do was start making jokes about his Imperial Guard list that he was telling us about, which,
What, a Sentinel, a Command Squad?
Nope.
That was it?
Wasn't it like it was a light transport and then, like, a squad of Cadians, because they were, like, Hive World
Cadians.
Investigators or something. Like, nothing against the guy. You play what you want, you build the models you want, but don't start shit-talking my Primaris models that will look at those and kill them.
Yeah,
like,
just looking at them and your models will die.
But that said, I don't want to necessarily discourage people from making those jokes, because everyone can experience the hobby how they want to. I'm just saying it would help for you to see what that can do to people.
Yeah, it can throw people out of the hobby, which is not a good thing in a hobby that is already... It's got a lot of people, but I will say from our experience, it also has a lot of toxic people.
And that is kind of, speaking of the getting out of the hobby, that is pretty much what happened. There was a long period of time I didn't want to do anything with 40K. I didn't read anything or, you know, buy models or do, like, I just had them sitting on the shelf and I just never looked at them for, like, probably a good 2 months.
Yeah, it's 2 months, I'd say. Good 2 months.
And then I was like, well, I shouldn't, just because people make jokes, I shouldn't get out of this hobby that I really did genuinely and still do enjoy. So I started looking at other factions. The first one was Gene Stealer Cult, which I still love. I don't really plan on playing them anytime soon anymore, but I love everything about Gene Stealer Cult, which is why a lot of my namesakes and stuff on different social medias, Casual Cultist, that's what that's come from, and that's why I keep it the same, is to, you know, honor that that is the faction that ultimately brought me back into the hobby.
Hell Hydra.
And you know, from then on, now I'm getting back into it full swing with Death Guard, and I do plan on making an Ultramarines list, and I'm actually now looking at White Scars. The more I look at them, the more real spicy they sound.
Well, you were looking at White Scars at the start.
Yeah,
but there's,
and that
not
was
a
also
whole,
true.
There's not a whole lot for anything other
there's
than
not like
Ultramarines.
Any, well, and the problem is there's a lot of factions that don't have unique models, which isn't necessarily a drawback for me, but
it doesn't help
whenever you just have, you know, I feel like it would just look like every other Space Marine list just outside of the, you know, named characters. But I don't know, I might start with like a kill team and then work up, or I might do like what I preached earlier and start with the patrol detachment, get a HQ and a troop choice.
I mean, I got a kill team with Deathwatch.
Yeah, you got a kill team with Deathwatch.
So, like, if I was going to do a Space Marine chapter, of the two Space Marine chapters, it'd either be Dark Angels or Deathwatch. Deathwatch is just expensive both in money and points.
True. So, yeah, I don't want to necessarily discourage people from experiencing the hobby how they want to experience. So, if that's, you know, making all these jokes and stuff, that's fine. It's just kind of keep in mind what that can do to the people you're making those jokes at. And I realize that I need to grow up as a person and not take everything as so personal and offensive, but
After hearing it for 6 months, it gets to you.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all I just want to say on that topic. Yeah, we can go ahead and talk about this. So the next thing I just kind of added to this list was our opinions on the Games Workshop games that we've played, and then we can go on to the ones we haven't played but have looked into to see if we would like them. And
okay.
I kind of did that with, like, the board games. I plan on getting some of those because I think I'll like them.
Mm-hmm. I've played a couple of the PS4 games.
Yeah. And as far as, like 40K, I am definitely enjoying it more now than before I started playing again. Because even when I was buying Death Guard models, I was still like, oh, man, I don't know if I'd like the scale of 40K. I think it's too big, but the more I play, the more I am really getting back into it and enjoying it. And then Kill Team. I haven't actually played Kill Team. I have a couple Kill Teams now. And I think I would enjoy the scale of, instead of it being like a full army, it's like a specialized team. Which is why I think I would also like Necromunda, but that's also Gang Wars. So I like Gang Wars. You know, Gene Stealer Cult. Represent. Which can be used in Necromunda and Kill Team and 40K.
Yeah, and Blood Bowl if you get creative.
Yep, and Blood Bowl, which I plan on getting creative. I just gotta either think of how really into Gene Stealer Cult I want to get with it. If I just want to make them all, like, just neophytes, so just take the human head off and put the neophyte head on the Blood Bowl players, or if I want to actually add new positionals, like,
I mean,
that'd
be a true arc, become a Star player?
Lord. That could be a big guy, for sure. Like
it'd be
a Minotaur. Yeah.
Ogre.
Yeah, it would be like the ogre for the team. I plan on doing that in conjunction with the Bonehead podcast. We talked about the idea of a 40K bowl. I think it was the idea of Rich. He was at one point the co-host. He had to step back for, I believe it was like real life was getting in the way. Couldn't be there a whole lot.
Yeah.
But I believe it was his idea. And I'm sure it's been around for a while, but I think it was his idea to kind of you know, start an actual, maybe play like a league. Unfortunately, they live in the UK, so...
Otherwise, it would have happened.
Infinitely far away from us.
It would have happened.
Here in almost the dead center of the United States.
Let's see, we have...
That's pretty much...
Rumor Engine, yeah. Don't we?
Yep, we'll always close up with Rumor Engine.
We've
talked about that. So, one thing I just wanted to bring up again really quick. I know we're getting kind of long on time.
Which isn't a bad thing. We're doing better than we thought we were.
Kind of the future of the podcast, now that we're making this shift to talking less about the, like, just straight up reading community posts and more talking about our own stuff, I feel like we might have to go back to what our original plan was, which is once a month, probably, just yeah. because I can't hemorrhage...
I can't think of enough extreme stuff to amount, say every yeah, 2 weeks.
To, like, buy new models. So, we'll just kind of talk about that. I believe... either with this episode or when we would go to record the next one, is also, this is kind of like our commitment episode, because now we have to decide if we're going to pay Podbean, so that way we would have more storage. I think we're running out of our storage space.
I think this is literally going to take the rest of our storage space.
I think so. So we're going to have to decide if we want to pay the, what is it, $9 a month in order to keep doing this. I'm enjoying it so far.
I mean, yeah, I'd say we do it. I've got the money. I'll help pay.
So... basically, for any of you listeners out there who've been with us this long, expect a shift in how this podcast is run, and also probably less podcast overall while we kind of figure it out. And there might be times where we have to go back to just reading community posts and stuff. And if we do, I apologize for that. But I would rather keep this podcast going than it would be trying to hold steadfast to some kind of ideal.
Yeah.
So with that out of the way, we can start wrapping it up here. Closing thoughts, special thanks. You got anything you want to say?
Can't really think of anything.
While you're having fun building your, what is it, Hormigaunts?
Yeah.
You having fun over there?
They don't want to fit in the bases.
I want to go ahead and, again, shout out, well, I guess technically both Bens. There's two Bens now for the Bonehead podcast.
Yeah.
I want to go ahead and give them another shout out, because Ben, one, helps me a whole lot with how to, like, run all this audio and stuff like that, and I talk to him a lot. He's just a really quality guy. They run a very quality podcast. Which you should be listening to instead of ours.
Wait,
honestly.
No. Don't say that. We want you to listen. Well, listen to the last thing, or listen to them, and then judge us.
Please not too harshly. It's about Blood Bowl, if you're interested in that, which is a fantasy football tabletop game. I quite enjoy it, but now it's kind of more of a... it's on the later end of the hobby side for me.
But you'll come back. I mean, I feel like we will come back later.
I'm trying to get our local game store to start playing it.
How's it going so far?
Well, I'm thinking about donating my starter box to the store, if you'll take it.
Yeah.
Either way, all that out of the way, another special thanks to our Ben, Monolith Games up in Salem Springs. We go there. I practically live there now.
I try to go there at least once, sometimes twice a week, depending on what I've got going on.
Yeah, I pretty much, that's my days off, other than recording this, is pretty much existing at Monolith Games. So I want to thank Ben, really quality guy, really quality store. If you live around us, go ahead, check it out. It's really worth a visit, especially if you're into... like TCG, Magic the Gathering, Yu-Gi-Oh, or Warhammer. He's got some Warhammer stuff.
He has a lot of stuff. They've got a ton of board games. They have even board games there that you can try out before you even buy them.
If you're really into board games, that is the stop. If you live around us, which probably isn't many of you, but some of you do.
Might surprise us.
And if you do live around us, hit me up at Monolith Games, because I live there on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
If we're not there, we will be there soon. Type stuff.
So yeah, thanks to Ben running an awesome store. That is my second home. I cannot stress that enough. Other special thanks, I guess I could thank my good buddy Jacob. he is the one who produced our intro and, I guess, for now, at least, outro track. And I'm very happy with it. He's actually got another one in the works I'm helping him work on.
Nice.
To give us some variety. Yeah, I think that's about it. So now we can head on over to the Rumor Engine and close our show out like we always
do. I'm always excited for these.
Yep, I think I looked at it earlier and I have no idea.
I'm always excited for these.
Let's see here. This is the Rumor Engine for March 3rd, 2020.
Chaos.
Well, it's definitely... So what it is it looks like it's some kind of, like, what are those called? Braziers?
Yeah, I'd say it's a brazier.
It looks like it's got some heads in it that are
I'm seeing a hand, a couple of skulls. I'm going to say it's ash, too.
And that's, I'm not sure what race that is. It looks kind of vaguely elvish.
That could be orcish, couldn't it?
Maybe. It looks a little too, like, slender. But, I mean, it could be. So I'm not sure. I feel like this isn't necessarily on a model. It's on a base for a model.
Or
a
terrain piece.
Or that, too. So, yeah, other than it also being Age of Sigmar, which I feel like is a trend, I think all but one of our Rumor Engines have been Age of Sigmar.
Yeah, one of them was Necromunda.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be Age of Sigmar, and it's good. It's something to do with chaos.
Something like that, yeah, with the burning heads. It's either that or, like, orcs.
Core.
That's true. Yeah, so I think that about wraps it up. Thanks for joining us again, listening to the show, episode 5, New Beginnings.
I cannot believe it's episode 5.
Episode 5 already,
it
man.
It does not feel like it.
Thanks for supporting us for this long and sticking with us.
Hopefully many more episodes to come.
Yeah, so we will catch you in episode 6. See you around, guys.